Conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
There, and you're very welcome to the programme. Wishy Fogarty with you until 7 o'clock. You'll want to contact the programme tonight because we're paying a special tribute to Dermot Earley. 066-712-3666 and 083-300-3300. Dermot Earley, of course, of the Defence Forces, Lieutenant General Dermot Earley, highly regarded across all ranks, as a wonderful footballer, and of course a great Irishman and a great man. First of all, let me say that 3 years ago when Kerry were beaten by Roscommon in the All-Ireland Minor Football Final above in Innes, I happened just to get onto Dermot Earley, the Lord of Mercy, and him straight away as the full-time whistle went. He had been involved behind the scenes with the Kerry, with the Roscommon Miners training him, and he was very emotional that day. This is a lovely piece. Listen to Dermot Earley after Roscommon beating Kerry in that Minor All-Ireland 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, above in Innes. Have a little listen to this to kick off our programme tonight.
I'm talking to Roscommon legend Dermot Earley. The full-time whistle has just gone. Dermot, your thoughts?
Magnificent for Roscommon. Unbelievable. We need this. The whole thing has been turned around in Roscommon in relation to football over the last couple of years. And Fergal O'Donnell and every one of them and every one of the supporters. It's only mighty. Absolutely mighty. And I'm so proud of every one of the players.
Dermot, I saw you at half-time standing up, roaring the team off the field, their tears in your eyes. This was a great 15-man effort.
Massive, absolutely massive. Team ethic, workman-like, everything that you need in football to win a game. We had so many chances, we missed so much, but they never put their heads down. It was only magnificent, and I am so proud of them. So proud of every one of them.
Did you think, Dermot, for a while they were kicking it away?
No, never, never. They have such a good bunch of fellas, and they know what it is to be a winner. And they're winners all the way.
Fergal O'Donnell, the former great Roscommon player, he came in there when no one else would take over the team. He made a superb job of them.
Absolutely brilliant. He's absolutely magnificent and deserves all the credit he gets. But really, it's the players. The players. The players are what did it. And we're so proud of them.
Dermot, does this make up for yourself?
Yes, and more and more. Look, they have everything in front of them. And we hope we play Kerry in a senior one soon and win it too.
Could I say on behalf of Kerry, Dermot, congratulations. You deserved it and ye needed it more than us.
Oh, Rishi, thank you very much. You said that to me coming into the ground and I appreciate that very much. Dona Mila Margus.
Thank you, Dermot.
Okay, Rishi, thank you.
Wow, what a passionate man. And the noise in the background, the Roscommon supporters, the former Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Dermot Earley, the great footballer who died last week. 066-712-3666-083-300-3300. Well, when he became Chief of Staff 3 years ago, he came down, sat in this studio with me, travelled down specially from Dublin to join me in conversation, and we first spoke about his career. Dermot, you're 40 years of service in the Defence Forces, but can you remember the day that you joined, that you walked in the door?
Oh, I certainly can remember the day I joined. It was a bit of a journey to come from West Roscommon to the Curragh, and you were to be there at about 4:30, I think. We were there around 4, and it was a bleak-looking place, the Curragh, at that time. And I remember that the first thing we were required to do was to go into Halla an Phiarsaigh, which was the hall for lectures and so on in the cadet school, and you were sworn in to the Defence Forces. And you took the oath that you would be faithful to Ireland, loyal to the Constitution, and that you would obey all lawful orders issued to you. And that's an oath that's taken by everybody who joins the Defence Forces, whether you come in as a private soldier, as a direct entry from outside with whatever qualifications you have, or as an officer, you take an oath, which makes the Defence Forces a bit unique.
How proud were you when you held up your hand and you were reciting that oath?
Oh, I was hugely proud. It was something that I had set my sights on for some time, as I said earlier, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, to get the chance. I had been in the FCA, as it was, the Reserve Defence Forces now, and had enjoyed immensely the way things were organised, the discipline, the structure, no time was your own. You were structured and organised for all sorts of activities, and there was a huge sporting side to it as well. And so all of that attracted me to that type of life. So when you got the opportunity to swear an oath and to take the oath to join the Defence Forces, I was immensely proud.
Were you homesick?
And not particularly, because I had been only down the road. I was a boarder in St. Nathie's College, a tough location in those days, very strict discipline measures in place. So when I went to the cadet school, I was used to that type of regime and that type of life. So I wasn't homesick at all. And my father had been speaking to one or two of the senior people who were involved in the cadet school. He was talking to the cadet master and the deputy when he went in, and I had played senior football for Roscommon just before I went in. So they told him that I would not be able to play for 3 months, but after Christmas, after I had settled down, I would be allowed to play if I was selected for Roscommon teams at inter-county level. And I, you know, that was a goal for you after Christmas, so stick it until Christmas and then you were out to play football.
I had another high-ranking army man sitting down where you were, a Kerry man,
yes,
a Dingle man, David Ash,
yes,
sat down there where you sat down not so long ago, and I had a fascinating talk to him, with him. Have you come across a lot of Kerry men in your career in the army? I know that the Lucy's probably the great footballing family probably came across your path.
Absolutely, and again through football, because an army team was selected to play the Guards in Croke Park shortly after I went in, and I was picked because a few people knew I had played minor and so on. So I was picked on the team, and the Lucy brothers were in the Defence Forces at that time, and I played centre field with one of them, and they were most supportive of me. I can remember them, and I can see them clearly in front of me now, coming up to me before the game started, that everything would be okay, just play your game, and if you're in trouble, pass the ball, and they would help.
Did you play
out
against them, Dermot?
I would say I played against them at National League level,
yes,
but
yeah.
My memory is of playing with them.
Yeah.
For the Defence Forces against the Gardaí in the representative series that was there at that time. Once a year we played, and I'd say I played 3 or 4 years with them.
Yeah. Sport, as you have mentioned a few times, has been a huge part of your life in the Defence Forces. So
yeah,
any young man listening to the programme, or any parents listening to the programme, that would be one of the reasons why they could encourage their sons or their daughters to join the Defence Forces. Don't
yeah, you? Well, I think that in the Defence Forces, the main focus at all times is to be trained to the highest possible level, to be able to execute the capabilities that the Defence Forces are tasked to execute, and that's number one. But in the periphery of all of that, there's a huge team ethic. And the team ethic is to look after your buddy, to ensure that nobody lets the side down, that you're there as a group of people to do the job. And sport helps to generate that, to solidify it. And we promote the team sport particularly, whether it be rugby, soccer, hurling, Gaelic football, basketball. They're the main team sports, with volleyball as well. All of those are encouraged right through the Defence Forces. And any young person who is interested in sport, they're encouraged within the Defence Forces to train to your utmost, play to your utmost, and be a perfectionist if you can possibly be that.
Why should any young Kerry boy or girl join the Defence Forces?
I think if they want a life that offers variety, a challenge, a bit of excitement, and opportunities to travel and be involved in the peace support operations that we undertake around the world, they'd be the reasons why I'd say have a go. Apart from the army, you have the navy, of course, as well, and a lot of Kerry, young people from Kerry, particularly from the coastal regions, have joined the naval service, and they play a huge role in the security and the fishery protection of the state. So there are great reasons to join if you want that type of adventure. But it is a disciplined life, and it is there is a requirement to live up to that oath, which I mentioned earlier on, that you do. That you are faithful to Ireland, that you're loyal to the Constitution, and that demands that you are a committed person, and that's the type of person we want, with little bit of leadership, because we can develop that leadership into people who can take charge and execute the mission.
Dermot, turning back to your football career, you have won under-21 All-Ireland medal in 1966. That must be very special. Who did you beat in the final?
We beat Kildare in the final.
Yeah.
And that is a bit more special because I live in Kildare.
Yeah.
And in 1966, I was in the cadet school in the Curragh, and everybody had gone away for the weekend, and I was left in the cadet school on my own because the All-Ireland final was in Croke Park on Sunday. So I made my way to the team hotel on Saturday night, and Kildare had won the All-Ireland Under-21 Championship the year before, 1965. They had about 11 or 12 of the same team playing again. Great people like Pat Dunne and Pat Mangan, magnificent footballers. But we had a very good team, and the game was touch and go for a long period, and then Kildare pulled away and were about 6 points ahead with 5 or 6 minutes to go. And we scored 2 goals and a point and won by a point. And it was absolutely magnificent. I don't remember much in the aftermath, but I do remember the game, and I remember those last moments when we scored the couple of goals and a point to win the game. But satisfaction that we got from it was magnificent, and I'm reminded of it by a number of Kildare people on a constant basis.
Oh, I'm going to ask you for your second choice of music, and when we come back, I'm going to be asking you about your overseas service in the Defence Force, and also I'm going to ask you how you lost the 1982 All-Ireland final to Kerry, because he should have won it, and I know that you'll remember that for the rest of your life. Dermot, what's your first choice of music?
My first choice of music is The Tennessee Waltz by, I think there's a version by Leonard Cohen now, which he has added a verse to himself. But the reason I picked it is because we talked earlier about growing up in rural Ireland, but our community in the parish of Loch Linn, they built a dance hall, voluntary work. And every Friday night there was a dance, and the bands would come and they'd play the music. But across, the openness of the quiet evenings, you could hear this music right across the grasslands and the bogs. And there's more bogs than grasslands.
And it remains etched in your memory.
It does, yeah. And that particular one. And it's a lovely tune to hum as well. But any time I hear it, it reminds me of the dances as a young fella and listen to the music, 300 or 400 yards away.
Sit back and listen to Dermot's choice.
I was sent with my darling to the Tennessee Wall when an old
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the special tribute programme, 0667123666 or 0833003300. Dermot Early was my guest in conversation in March 2007. He's the holder of 5 Connacht Senior Medals, 2 All-Star Awards, 1 National League Medal, 1 Under-21 All-Ireland Medal, an All-Ireland Runners-Up Medal in 1918, 2 Railway Cup Medals, and he played minor for Roscommon for 4 years, from 63 until 66. In the second part of this interview, I asked him about serving overseas. Dermot, you served a lot overseas. Did you like travelling? And you served in Iraq?
Yeah, I enjoyed overseas service. First of all, professionally, you train for overseas operations, and when you get the opportunity to go, you jump at the opportunity, you jump at the chance to execute the skills and the knowledge and the methods that are there to make difficult situations better, hopefully. But the challenge to lead or to take a group of people and work with them in a very operational situation is terrific, and for that reason you would want to serve overseas.
How did you finish up in Iraq?
Well, I was the military advisor to the Secretary General of the UN at the time, from 87 to 91, and during that period of time the Iran-Iraq war ended, and we had to put in a peacekeeping operation in Iraq and Iran. So I was involved in that, on going in and out of both countries on many occasions to see that that was in place properly and that it was functioning well. And then later on, as history has shown, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait at the end of the 90s, I think it was, or maybe it was into 91. And there was a huge effort to try and get him to withdraw. So I was involved in that. And then after the coalition forces went in and pushed him back, and you had all the burning oil fields and so on, I was in to put in another peacekeeping operation between Kuwait and Iraq. And that was very interesting, exciting. Not too dangerous, because the situation had been stabilized. You know, everyone had agreed that a peacekeeping operation would go in, so peace was restored, but you had to make sure that they conducted themselves properly and that they agreed to the terms of the peace conditions.
Can you see any foreseeable hope for Iraq at the moment? I mean, it's a terrible situation.
It is a very difficult situation, and you know, without getting involved in the politics of it, or to say anything derogatory from on any side, I would say that it is a hugely difficult situation, and it is one which it appears at the moment not to have a good end solution. And what's needed is a huge, heavy negotiation from whatever sides can put that negotiation in place to allow the parties to stop the fighting and stabilize the situation, and then make it good for the people of Iraq. Because the you know, my experience of the people in Iraq has been that they're wonderful people. They're as hospitable and as friendly as any in the world, and that was my experience. And it's awful to see the tragedy that's there at the present time.
You served in the Middle East. I'd say a very volatile yes, place to serve in. Did you come across any dangerous situations, I'd imagine? Because we have lost men there, haven't we?
Well, we have, yes. Unfortunately, yes. Particularly in Lebanon, and we've had a number of people, two people lost with the True Supervision Organization that's there as well, one on the Golan Heights and one in Beirut later on, two officers, Tommy Wickham and Mick Nestor, God rest them. But we have also lost over 80 people worldwide in peace operations with the Congo and Cyprus in the Middle East and so on. So there are elements of danger, there are elements of difficulty. You don't know what the end solution will be on any given day, but you have to try your best to ensure that you implement the peace process that has been agreed. And in doing so, sometimes there is danger, but if you stick to the skills that you have been taught and stick to the protocols, then you can eliminate that and minimise the risk on every occasion.
Yeah. Timmy Kennelly from My Van was on. He said, Dermot Early is real, gentlemen. It's a shame he did not get an All-Ireland scene in the middle, and so say all of us. Dennis O'Connor from Abbeyfield was on. Real comment on Johnny Cullity and his early playing in minor finals. Dennis says, Jimmy Doyle of County Tipperary played in 4 All-Ireland minor finals.
He did,
and
indeed.
Won 3 of those. Well done.
He did, and I think he was a goalkeeper for some of those.
I think so. And
right.
Joe Canning, he said, of Galway, also played in 4 also. So,
yes.
Nice bit of information. Now, Sheila Sullivan of Kenmare. Sheila says she loves the programme, listens to it every Wednesday night, loves Terrace Talk, and asks if Dermot played in the 1980 All-Ireland between Kerry and Roscommon. Sheila, you brought us right into the lady. He certainly did. I mentioned 82 before, and I was wrong. Of course, there, it's 1980. Dermot, the 1980 final. We should go on about it. Game you should have won. Would I be correct in saying that?
I think that we had the capability to win the final. We shouldn't have won it on the day. I think that our attitude changed during the course of the game from a situation where we were in control of the game to a situation where we felt that everything had to be held on to and at all costs hold on to the lead that we had at a particular time. And I often say, and other people have said it, that the fear of losing overcame the will to win. Having said all of that, you know, the team we were up against was the most magnificent team that has ever played Gaelic football, in my opinion. And all of those players that played on that day, and players who had come in and out of that team, you know, and there were only a few over the period of the 8 or 10 All-Ireland finals that they played in, were magnificent, skillful players. And in the end of the day, it's skill that wins. You can have a high level of fitness, you can have all sorts of other initiatives taken to ensure that the team is at its peak, but the level of skill that you acquired, the Mikey Sheehy skill, you know, the Jack O'Shea skill.
But you were flying that to Dermot.
We were flying.
You got off to a great start.
We got off to a magnificent start, and had we continued in that fashion, we made a couple of mistakes and allowed Kerry to come back in. But, you know, I was so disappointed. I never looked at the video of the game. 12 years later, I looked at it when I was doing a book on football and my life in football and so on. And it was such a disappointment. But having said all that, the better team won in the end because they took the chances that were provided and they had a better team ethic than we had. Having said that, I agree with you. We had the ability to win the game, and it didn't happen.
What are your other memories of Kerry clashes, Dermot?
Well, we didn't meet that often, and as I said earlier, every time we met, we came out second best. The only time we beat them in a knockout competition was in the quarterfinal of the league in 1979, and we went on and won the league that year. And we had a great game in Croke Park that day, and we won by a point. I remember in a very special time when we came up against Kerry in 74 in the league final. And it was on the same day that Dublin played Wexford in the first round of the Leinster Championship. That was the replay. It was the same year. The replay was on the... we drew with Kerry in 74. Or Kerry drew with us. Johnny Egan scored a goal in the last couple of minutes. And it ended up, I think, for Roscommon, 1-6 for Kerry. And we were beaten in the replay. But I think we conceded a penalty. And I thought it was, you know, against the run of play, or we were harshly treated or whatever. But Mikey Sheehy was taking the penalty. And I'm sure he doesn't remember this, but I said to Mikey, we were hard done by there. You should kick it wide. But he promptly stuffed it in the back of the net.
Isn't it while you're thinking of your fine piece of music, you won 5 Connacht titles on the 20, two football championship medals, 2 Connacht under 21s, you know, Connacht minor, and you won a National Football League medal in 79. What's your final choice of music?
Final choice of music goes back to my dad. He was a magnificent man in my life. Formed the football club, influenced me hugely, big supporter. And I was overseas on peacekeeping duty. And my mum and himself came up to Newbridge to look after the kids while Mary, my wife, came out to meet me in Cyprus on holidays. And he passed away while he was up in Newbridge. And I think of the Davy Arthur and the Fury Brothers, Steal Away. I thought he stole away. And every time I hear that song, it reminds me of my dad.
Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. And darling, steal away. Steal away. Let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. And darling, steal away. Let's steal away and chase out the rain and hope they'll never find us. The weary days, the empty nights, we leave them all behind us. Steal away, let's steal away, no reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. I'm darling, steal away.
In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the special tribute programme to the late Dermot Early. And when he was buried at the weekend, there was, would you believe, more than 20,000 cards were distributed by the Defence Force chaplaincy at the weekend at his funeral, marking his death. Now, these cards detailed the 5 points of Dermot's plan for life. This is what he subscribed to the army when he entered it. And his five-point plans for his life were, listen to this. Number 1, enjoy time with my family. Number 2, give the best to my work. Number 3, give back time to my community. Number 4, spend my leisure time well. And number five, make time for God in my life. There were his five points for his plan for his life for Dermot Earley. Now, of course, Dermot Earley was recognised as one of the great all time midfielders in Gaelic football. He never won an All Ireland medal, but who better to pay tribute to him in Kerry tonight than our own legendary midfielder Mick O'Connell? Mick joins me in the line from his home in Valencia. Mick, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Rishi. Yeah.
Thank you for joining me, my friend. What have you to say about Dermot Earley, Mick?
Well, just to put it in order, I was winding up in 1972 when I first played on a field with Dermot Earley. He was just coming to the fore that time, and in the Cork Athletic grounds that year in a Munster Connacht game he was playing, and then later in the semi-final that year, Kerry versus Roscommon, I was playing in midfield for Kerry and he was playing for Roscommon. But afterwards I saw him playing a number of times. First of all, before I say anything about him, the playing days, very sad to hear a man who had achieved so much and was young enough to achieve more to die, pass away at an early age of 62. So I was saddened to hear of his death and all that. But as regards a player, it is often mentioned that Dermot Earley was one of the best players ever to win an All-Ireland medal. I think that doesn't describe that player at all, because in a team game like football, as distinct from individual sports, the trophies and the medals are always dependent on the support you get from a team in a team game like that. And Dermot, who was an outstanding midfielder, as you mentioned there, he was playing with a Roscommon team that hadn't gone to the fore in winning All-Ireland and so on. But I think that's more of a tribute to him, the fact that he achieved such a standard of play when he didn't have the support of a very, what is called, a successful team. I think that is something that should be said about him, that he stood out in that regard. And as a player, he played at midfield. He was a very energetic player, well able to field and kick. And had he been playing with a more successful county, I think he would have been recognised much more than he actually was.
Did you meet him later in life, Mick? When did you bump into him in your travels?
Well, no. As I said, I was winding up. I think the last time I met him, not very much, but it was in University College Galway. There was a retirement function for Ignado Murkathig, who had Valencia connections and Kerry connections. And he was there that night in his army regalia, and I did chat with him that night. And little did I think that he'd be 11 or 12 years younger than me, that I would outlive him. But sadly, the sickness hit him very hard, and I heard that he wasn't well for the past year or so. So when he passed away, it was very sad to hear about it.
How would you describe him as a footballer, Mick, as a midfielder?
As a midfielder, I had limited knowledge of him, because I just played on the field with him a couple of times, but saw him afterwards. As I said to you there, he was a very energetic player, well able to do the basics of midfield play, field and kick very well, and energetic all around the field. But I think a lot was expected him trying to carry a team, which he was the mainstay of the Roscommon team, and often without the support of a team that's not doing very, very successful. In fact, that is the point I made to you earlier there, that was a tribute to him, that he did succeed to make such an impact in the game without having a team that was reaching All-Ireland finals and so on.
He became Chief of Staff then, Mick, of the Defence Forces, and reading the papers and television and all over the weekend there, he was highly thought of, really, and he travelled and served all over the world.
Oh, yeah, sure. His service in the army, really, it was very laudable with the United Nations and various parts of the world. And I think that more than as a sportsman. Sportsman was only his leisure time, but I think the fact that he reached the peak in the armed service of the country, it was a great honour for him. And for that reason, I suppose it's a great loss to the army, and especially, I suppose, to the old sportsmen who knew him. It was sad to see him go so young as well. So for that reason, he's another. They often talk about Gaelic players. You asked me the question, did I meet him at all? We live in different parts of the country. We scatter in all directions. Even in this county, I might very rarely meet some of my players of the past. So I would like to have been up at the funeral the last day, but living in the southwest here the last day, you know, it isn't easy to attend all those places. So
no.
For that reason, I just say that farewell to him and thank him for his company on the field,
yeah,
and for his friendship.
And I've no doubt, Mick, you'll join with me and my listeners when we pass our condolences to his wife, Mary, and their six children, David, Dermot, Connor, Paula, and Marie, and Noel.
Yes,
and of course,
I read that in the paper. I would like to pass on my sympathies in, to them too, because it must be a tragic loss for them.
And his son Dermot played with Kildare, and he also won two All-Stars like his father, and his daughter Noel is also an All-Star. So Mick O'Connell, from one great midfielder, paying tribute to another. Thank you for joining us, Mick.
Okay, Weezy, bye-bye.
Yeah, and give our regards to your good son down there.
Thank you.
Thank you, that's Mick O'Connell there, one of the legendary midfielders, paying tribute to the late Dermot Earlio. 6671 236 666 083 300 3300, if you'd like to contact the programme. When we come back, we'll have more chat with the late Dermot Earlio.
In conversation with Weezy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
And you're very welcome back to the final part of the programme. I'm talking to Dermot Earley, Major General Dermot Earley, and the former Roscommon great midfielder. Dermot, Phil Healy of Ardfert was on. Did Dermot play against Kerry in a hurling game at any time?
No, I don't think I played hurling against Kerry. I played hurling for Roscommon at under 21 level in the special competitions that were organised, and they're still there, I think. We played one or two games and then got to an All-Ireland final special against Kildare. I do say from time to time, you know, I played in an All-Ireland hurling final to people, yeah, and they look at you and say, where did that come from? But it was under 21 special, and we beat Kildare in the football in 66, but they beat us in the special hurling in about 73 or 72.
Did you like the hurling?
I loved the hurling, sure, but yeah, I didn't have the skill with the stick. I could catch the ball, no problem.
I know, yeah.
And pass it on to somebody with my hand, yeah, but to, you know, I needed an acre of ground to turn to swing the hurling, but I enjoyed it again.
You have a saying in the Defence Forces, and it says the Defence Forces provide a life less ordinary. What is a life less ordinary, will you tell me?
Well, that was a catchphrase that we coined a good few years ago to try and describe for the people who would be interested in the Defence Forces and anybody who wanted to join particularly, how can you capture what the Defence Forces is about? And it is a life less ordinary. And without being repetitive, the oath at the start and all the different activities. The other thing is, of course, you are allowed, ordered, you have authority to carry a weapon, and it is an armed. You are an armed person with a weapon and ammunition, and you have responsibilities when you have that weapon and ammunition on your person, and you are authorised to use it in certain circumstances, and you have to be prepared to do that. Thankfully, it hasn't happened that many times, but it has happened, but you have to be prepared and trained up to that level. The Defence Forces requires people of strong character, a person with great commitment, determination.
Discipline.
I was just coming to that, yeah, word. That is the word. Discipline. And discipline, people will say all sorts of things about the qualities that you need to have. If you have discipline and are able to impose that on yourself, the self-discipline that's required to do anything, to play football, to do your job, to be a proper family person, all of these things require discipline, and if you have that, it'll bring you a long, long way.
I hope some of the Kerry footballers out there are listening to them with early about discipline, but they'll have it for the championship, I know.
No, they will, of course. They will.
Great friend of mine, Tommy Regan from Boylan County Roscommon, sends you his best wishes. He's very busy at the moment putting up photographs of Kerry teams. He's a fierce Roscommon man, and when Roscommon and Kerry played that day, the G won the minor All-Ireland, we happened to talk about it.
Yeah.
I interviewed you straight away at the full-time whistle.
That's right.
One of the most passionate and poignant interviews that I've ever done. Well done, Dermot, that day.
It was a special day for Roscommon that day, and well done to Tom. I know that you're putting up all those photographs for the club and get them done, but it was a special day that day, and what it meant to Roscommon was huge, and that has manifested itself since then. The whole county has been lifted by that victory, and because it was against Kerry and such a magnificent team, it was special.
You were born in Mayo. You were a Roscommon man, a player, Roscommon, yeah, and you were married to a Tipperary woman.
I'm married to a Tipperary woman.
That's some mixture of blood. And your son is playing with Kildare.
And my son is playing with Kildare, that's, yeah, right.
You're married to Mary. Tell us your family, Dermot.
We have six children. We had three boys first and then three girls.
Give us their names.
The eldest boy is David. He was born in Jerusalem when I was serving over there with the peacekeeping forces in 1975. And Mary came over. She was pregnant at the time. So David was born in Jerusalem. Next to him is Connor, plays football too, coaches a little bit with the Sarsfield Club in Newbridge with the under-16s this year. Next is Dermot, who plays football with Kildare. And then we have Paula and Marie and Noel in that order. And in fact, every one of them plays football with Sarsfields and Camogie as well. The girls play Camogie. And Noel won an All-Ireland Junior with Kildare 2 years ago when they beat Sligo in the All-Ireland Junior football final.
It's your ambition in your life now, Dermot?
Well, my ambition in life is to continue to do what I'm doing to the best of my ability. I think that earlier stages of life, you set very high goals for yourself maybe and you try and attain them and they don't get there. But as you get older, you know what you can achieve. So if I can continue to do the things that I'm doing at the present time to a high standard, then I'm very happy.
Would religion play a big part in your life in the army?
Yes, religion. I think that there are a number of things that you have to have. Religion, work, family, and how you use your leisure time.
Dermot Early, it was lovely having you in conversation. Thank you for coming to Kerry, and the best of luck to you and your family and your work in the army. Well done.
Thank you very much, Wishy. A pleasure to be here.
Chivalry, sing on.
Yes, indeed. I hope you enjoyed that programme. Dermot Harrington, two sis, was on. He said, the programme brings back memories of my father. Dermot Early was a class act. Beautiful programme, says Moss. Snorin Flaherty, Connolly Partley. Well done, we shit your tribute and a fabulous programme. Nobody deserves it more than Dermot. It was great to hear our own Mick O'Connell. Connie Kelly in Boston. It's so sad to lose such a fine individual, so young. Life is a treasure and we should all treasure it. Well done, Wishy, and another superb programme. That was the life and times of Lieutenant General Dermot Early. I want to thank sincerely David O'Donoghue on sound tonight. Dermot, or David, edited and produced this programme, and thank you for that, David. And Tanya was taking your calls, and next Wednesday night we have another exclusive when I'll be in conversation with John O'Leary, the former Fianna Fáil TD, who talks for the first time about his life and times. Don't miss that next Wednesday night, the life and times of John O'Leary, the former Fianna Fáil TD. So I hope you enjoyed the programme. I found it sad, I found it poignant. Thanks for listening.
With Rishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.